We have a local wine today, which is the Fellow Sauvignon Blanc. It is a 2018 from Clarksburg, California, which Clarksburg is literally like 5 minutes down the road from us. So I'm excited to try it.
It's very light colored wine.
It is a certified green, sustainable, and organic.
Which I read at the grocery store today that the longer the grape sits, the darker it gets.
No, that was for rosés. That was in the rosé section. But I heard something about how the older a white wine gets, the darker it gets. Like the more aged.
That could be.
Also, Chardonnays are generally darker than like a Sauv Blanc or Pinot Grigio.
Typically. Chardonnays can be pretty dark.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Is there going to be more dark than
I think like it must this? Be like the skin on the grape, maybe.
So I guess they just say on the back that they're handcrafted locally and sourced from multi-generational Clarksburg family vineyards with the intent of promoting community, camaraderie, sustainability, and the deep roots of Clarksburg. So.
All right.
Cheers to that.
Hmm. It's very smooth wine.
You get some oakiness.
Got some tart. Yeah.
I would say it's very like Meyer lemon and oak.
Yeah. It's got like the tart. It's tart lemon.
It also has a little floral though.
A little bit of floral. Yeah.
I would call this more like an aromatic soft.
It's like a medium body.
Yeah.
Almost a light.
Which it should be. Like a soft blanc should be a light to medium. Like you should not have a heavy.
I mean, you can have a good one, but I don't know. I don't know that much about that, but.
But I know we've been doing a lot of reds on this podcast because it's been like winter. And I was like, you know what?
This is just like a simple, good, easy drinking wine.
And we had fish and broccolini for dinner. And I feel like this kind of goes with what we had for dinner.
Do you feel fancy when you say that? We have fish and broccolini.
No. I mean, it was cod.
Fish pala.
So
broccolini.
But I made it and I did a good job, I have to say. So, okay. What are your thoughts on this? What would you pair this with? What we had.
Probably what we had, yeah. This is a good just sipping wine. Mm-hmm. You could drink it and just eat some basic snack foods.
You like charcuterie board and pretzels. Probably,
maybe not that. That's kind of heavy, but you could do pretzels and like, you could do cashews.
Mm-hmm.
Would be really good with this.
Pistachios.
Anything creamy. Creamy texture.
Mm-hmm.
So.
If you don't know.
Now you know. You're listening to Wine 30.
With Andrew and Lindsay.
Where we're going to talk about all the hot topics.
And drink wine.
Drink the wine.
Which, we have like this new jingle on our Batch Report podcast. And it's done by Asha, who's the host of the Australian Bachelor and Bachelorette and Masked Singer and all of that. And I like almost want him to do a jingle for our Wine 30 too, because it was just so fun.
I don't know if we could get him to do that though. Or if it would be appropriate.
Because like we have been podcasting about the Australian Bachelorette and Bachelor, so it makes sense. But he's a fun guy.
He's really fun. Okay, so what have we been reading? Quick.
I haven't been reading too much, except our power was knocked out last night by a storm, and I had nothing saved on my iPad. Like, I knew I had more checkouts available this month on Hoopla, and I hadn't used them, and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But I did have Safely Endangered Comics downloaded on my Hoopla, so I was reading that for a good half hour or so last night, which is another one of those books that's like comic strips put together into a book, so.
I've only been reading news articles, and we just got a Yes Magazine subscription for Christmas, so I've been reading a lot of those.
Yeah, I actually was reading some magazine articles, but I'm going to save those for the second half because they relate to my topics.
What have you been watching?
Oh my gosh, so much stuff. My too list for this stuff. Is way too much.
Too much
so
stuff.
I started watching Love Life on HBO Max, and I'm a huge fan, as like Anna Kendrick and like a bunch of other great actors in it. And I've been enjoying that. If you're a big romantic comedy fan, check it out. We've been watching Batman, the animated series at night, which is perfect to fall asleep to. Big fan. We watched Wonder Woman 1984.
We felt like we had to because our subscription said that it was going to go out, like it was not going to be available.
Yeah, HBO Max gets it the same time that it's in theaters, but then it leaves the same time it leaves theaters. So they'll be like, only 3 days left to watch it. And I was like, oh, we have to. And I did not like the first Wonder Woman movie. I fell asleep because it was so much CGI. I didn't like it. So
I feel like the beginning and end of this 1984. I feel like the beginning and end were lackluster, but the middle of it was really good.
I definitely think it was better than the first one. And there was less CGI overall, which is a plus in my book.
I feel like they kind of, like, at the beginning, they made just, like, some nonsensical nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, here she is saving somebody, but it didn't have anything to do with the story. And then, like you didn't know who Wonder Woman was, which is bothersome. And then at the end, it was just really lackluster.
Yeah.
But the middle was so good.
I would give it, like,
it's worth a watch.
6.5, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it's family friendly.
Yeah, so we've also been watching Doctor Who with the female Doctor.
Oh my gosh, I love Doctor Who. And she's so good. She's such a good Who.
Yeah.
She's such a good Doctor.
What's her name? Like Jodie Whittaker? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. And I'm bummed because she's only doing whatever the 2 seasons and they just cast the new Doctor.
They made it really hard to watch. And I say that because I used to like illegally, I don't want to say illegally stream it.
But like he would find where to like stream it online somewhere. Because it wasn't on Hulu, it wasn't on Netflix, it wasn't like anywhere like that. So it was really difficult. And then the fact that HBO Max picked up Doctor Who was
really
a blessing.
Smart. That was a really smart thing for them to do. So we've been watching that.
We also watched Space Ghost Coast to Coast, which
this is true.
Really fun to watch as an adult because it's weird. It's so weird.
We watched very little of it.
We watched two episodes.
So I've been watching some random anime. It's
Summer Camp Island.
AICO. Summer Camp Island.
Bachelor at Australia.
What's that cartoon we've been watching?
Close Enough.
And what's the other one? The one with the kid we watched with kids?
Summer Camp Island.
Oh, Summer Camp Island. That's really fun.
It is really fun. And we've also been watching WandaVision.
We've been watching a lot of television.
But we are doing I Just Don't Have Time For on both Close Enough and WandaVision currently.
And we just started watching a new show called
Bridgerton.
Yeah.
I forgot about Bridgerton. Yeah. We're only on episode 2. But yeah.
So that's all we've been watching. That's all. 10 shows. What have we been listening to?
I actually have not really been listening to anything. I've actually been sitting in silence more. Instead of feeling an obligation to turn on music or a podcast or a show, I've been, you know, sobbing in silence.
So that's great. I've been listening to Jocko, the podcast Unhinged, because I've been kind of like wanting to learn more about what happened in the Afghan-Iraqi war, because I feel like when it was happening, I just was like, it's very depressing, you know? And now it's like, I can at least look back and be like, wow, that was really awful what happened there. So he was basically a Navy SEAL commander, highly respected by his comrades.
Yeah, I feel like that might be part of the reason I haven't been listening to anything is because Andrew's been listening to that so much. So I hear like parts of it and he reminds me of like someone who wants to be Joe Rogan so bad.
Yeah, he's got like a little bit of it's like a little bit.
And I feel like there's something about him that I just find like
repulsive,
condescending or
I do
something.
Too. I find that about
so
him too.
Whenever I hear it from the other room, I'm like, ugh. Like,
but the other person, I mean, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. He's really like more introverted, and like I feel like he has a lot more good information.
Yeah.
So,
well,
what
that's
else
the thing. Joe Rogan sometimes has really great guests, but I'm so turned off by Joe Rogan that I can't.
I am too.
Like, listen to it.
Yeah. They kind of are in the same realm of things with the whole UFC, and I can see the appeal of Joe Rogan, like to a blue collar, like, you know, I don't know. I can see the appeal. If I was like 10 years younger, I would be like, wow, Joe Rogan's awesome, you know? But being, you know, in my 30s, I'm kind of like, eh. Like, it just feels too much like he's trying to appeal to
a certain person.
To people like that. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of like, are you trying to be a good person or are you just trying to get ratings? I don't know. Just kind of like
weird. I keep meaning to listen to Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast and I keep forgetting. And we saw him speak and I actually enjoyed him when we saw him at, was it Silicon Valley Comic Con? So.
What have you been playing?
I've actually been playing some Town of Salem. I've been playing.
I feel like every week you play Town of Salem.
I know. And some Mario Kart because I've been playing with my stepdad and sister in Idaho/Washington quite often. And then my dad just got a Nintendo Switch, so now he can play Mario Kart too. So, like, everyone in my family is getting the Switch so we can all play Mario Kart together. And that's kind of fun. How about you?
I've been playing this game called Caves of Quid. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like a rogue game. So you don't get any... You're not supposed to get... Like, once you die, that's it.
Yeah.
You know? But you basically explore and you build your character. And it's kind of like an RPG. Or, like, what's it called when you build your character? Anyway, you just build up a character and you take it into, like, dungeons and stuff. And it's pretty fun. But it's pretty low-key as far as graphics go.
So there are actually some more games I've been playing. We were playing Trivia Star yesterday when the electricity was out. And another game that we've been playing that is perfect for when the electricity gets knocked out is Best Fiends, which is our sponsor for this podcast and a game that we absolutely love to play. And you don't need internet. So if you're traveling, if you're like on a plane or a train, if you're in a house that doesn't have electricity because there's a storm, Best Fiends is there for you. So things have come a long way since we were kids and it seems like we get more instant classics every year. And you know what else is an instant classic? Is Best Fiends, the top-rated mobile puzzle adventure. Best Fiends has a world full of lovable characters, thousands of levels, and more content that gets added all the time. I've been playing for over a year now, and I'm already checking my phone for the latest update. Like, they add new levels all the time. They're always having new events, and I love it. So, with over 100 million downloads, the 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must-play. More levels, events, and challenges are added all the time, so play away because there's always one more level. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom won't stand a chance. When Best Fiends says the fun never ends, that's not an exaggeration. There's over 5,000 puzzle levels and counting, which I know Andrew's mom is on level like 3,000 and something, and she's never going to hit the end because they're just adding more. So that's pretty cool. So don't blame us if you end up obsessed. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Best Friends without the R. Best Fiends.
All right. So hit me with your hard topics.
My hard topics. I mean, they're not hard. But I had a day yesterday. And I say a day because it was like a rough mental health day yesterday. And I feel like these happen more and more frequently, especially when we're like in shutdown during COVID, like we're stuck in a house together. And I was like throwing a little tantrum and I went to have some alone time and I opened up my iPad and went to the news app. And one of the first things that popped up was this article from Stylist Magazine in the UK. And it was called How to Keep Going When Every Day Feels the Same. Because people are just getting up and living the same day over and over and over again in lockdown. And it's really freaking hard. So I was going to share some of the things that they said to do because they interviewed like a neuroscientist and a psychiatrist and a psychologist. They had like all of these people saying, this is why you're feeling this way and these are some things that you can do. So some of the little things that they said was like buy yourself flowers every so often because seeing like nature like will like perk up your mind. Also, they say walk a different neighborhood. Like, instead of walking your same, like, block over and over again, like, go somewhere else. Like, look at something else. Change up your bed linen. We just got a new duvet cover this week, so that was really exciting. They also said changing up your exercise routine so you're not just doing the same thing every day.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, doing something like exercise bingo or something where it's just constantly changing. Because if you're like, okay, I get up and I go for a 5-mile run and I come home, like, eventually you just get like in a rut. And they said like make sure that you're doing different things in your relationship as well. Like you could be like, oh, let's do a random movie night, let's do a random game night, like something that's just different than the day-to-day that you normally do. And They basically said a good, like, mantra is there's a past and a future, and you just have to get past the present. Like, you can look back and be like, man, I had, like, a great life, and I'm going to have a great life. I just have to get past, like, this rough patch right now.
Right.
And then they also mentioned making attainable to-do lists every day so that you have a sense of achievement.
Which, like, I know we all have to get better about that.
Which they said, your to-do list could be like, I'm going to binge Bridgerton today. And then when you do it, you can check it off your list. That was actually an example
like
they put
Lindsay's,
in there.
More to-do list.
But then something else that fell into that is I then read a interview with Glennon Doyle, who wrote Untamed.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have on my bookshelf that I have not read yet. But she was basically talking about unlearning the idea of being happy all the time, because people feel like, oh, it's my goal to be happy.
Right.
And she's like, your goal isn't to be happy. Like, no one's going to feel happy all the time. That's unattainable. And you need to unlearn the idea that you need to be happy all the time.
Well, I think it's hard too when you work in, like, some of these corporate cultures mm-hmm. want you to pretend to be happy, like fake it till you make it mentality. And I just think that's not enough. Like, that kind of bleeds into one of my topics where, you know, like, we're lacking purpose. You know what I mean? And especially during these times of, like, this extreme times of viruses
mm-hmm.
and disease, where you're seeing people you love or people you care about that are getting it and possibly being, their lives are being in danger, or possibly you're losing loved ones. It's kind of like hard to find purpose. It's like, what gives you meaning, you know? And I think also another thing that can lead to that kind of downward spiral into depression is being isolated. You know, it's like you're not necessarily going out and socializing as much anymore because you're, you know, you're supposed to be distancing and locked down, and that causes a loss of purpose. You know, like, what am I doing? Like, what are we doing here? Right?
Yeah.
So what do you feel like?
Well, something else she mentioned was that telling ourselves that we're grateful when we're actually miserable leads to feeling guilty. So she said everyone's been pushing, like, oh, write something you're grateful for every day, which, like, may help temporarily, but over time makes you feel guilty for being so miserable feeling. Because you're like, well, I should be grateful, but I feel miserable still.
But guilt is good. Guilt provokes change. So the fact that you get to guilt means you're more likely to change to not feel that way, right? Like, because you've, guilt is like,
but she's saying you don't need to feel accomplished and productive and happy all the time.
You could just feel like a loser.
She said that you should be feeling all of your feelings hard, and being human isn't about feeling happy, it's about feeling everything.
Yeah, it's about,
and it's about feeling all of those emotions.
That's true.
So instead of like trying to make yourself happy, she's like, lay on the floor and feel sad.
Right.
Like, feel it, because that's being alive.
Yeah.
Is feeling those feelings. And she's like, when you try to mask that and feel nothing, that's when there's a problem.
Right.
And she's like, manic depressive. It's interesting.
I really enjoy hearing that type of perspective.
So it kind of made me feel a little bit better yesterday when I was like having my day where I was just not feeling great.
It's like there's people out there to empathize.
And I was like, you know what? Today sucks. And I feel really crappy today. And I'm just going to feel crappy today and just feel it. Instead of being like, oh, I'm happy, everything's perfect. It's like, it's okay to cry on the floor.
Good for you.
I know.
That's awesome.
So, moving on with your thing. I kind of just
rambled
for a
while. I already did my topic. What's your next topic?
I mean, that was my big gig.
Well, I guess my question was, how do you find purpose during these times where you can't just go and see your loved ones just like that? You know, there's protocols and things.
Something they kind of mentioned as well that had to do with that, because they're like, people need more than one person in their life, right?
Like social
interaction. So they said that's why relationships are struggling so hard right now, is because you're stuck in a house with someone and that person ends up having to be your everything. Like, they're stuck being your best friend and your, like, relationship companion. Like, your lover, your family, like they have to fill like every role because they're the ones that you can interact with and they're the ones that are there when normally you have like a whole group of people that fill those roles.
Right.
So it leads to a lot of bickering because like your person isn't meant to be every, like they're not meant to be your only source of socializing.
Right.
So
sometimes I get on you about that.
Like, I know. You need to, like, and it was, we had a whole conversation about it yesterday. And then I went and read this article and I was like, that is exactly
what she just couldn't hear it from me. She had to hear it.
Well, but it's like, they're like, FaceTime your friends as often as possible. Yeah. Or like, I've been doing like those online orgs, like the survivor orgs and stuff. And they said that doing that is super healthy because right. you're interacting with people.
It's like you're meeting new people too.
And like, you need that to thrive. Like, you need that to have purpose. You can't...
I mean, I just FaceTime a buddy of mine for no particular reason. Yeah. Just, like, set something up and did it. And a lot of times I get into, like, group chats and chat with people, you know? So...
Yeah, I've been trying to, like, Marco Polo a lot of my friends.
Right.
So then, like, people on their own time can, like, send videos back and forth. And I feel like that's been, like, a little bit helpful. But then sometimes I'll go a couple of weeks and, like... not send people Marco Polos, and then it's like a whole thing.
Marco Polo's really difficult because you're also waiting for interaction as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if no one's sending you Marco Polos and you're sending out some stuff, but you're not getting a ton of reciprocation, it like deters.
And I know it's hard because sometimes I'll watch a video and be like, oh, I'll send a video back later. And then, like, 3 days pass, and I'm like, oops. And then I go back and like record a video back. But it's like, that person's been waiting 3 days for a response. And then, like, they may do the same thing every so often and be like,
or you just forget.
I completely forgot. Like,
they forget.
And then a month like, passes and you yeah. go and they're like, oh, what happened to that person?
And Lindsay sent like, me three back, like, 4 months ago. She sent me three messages. It was really bad because that was right around the passing of our beloved dog. And I still haven't looked at those.
I know.
I'm like, I don't want to look.
It was the weekend before... because he was away, so I was like, we were sending him all these videos,
like, I just don't
of like us
look.
Doing
yeah.
stuff around the house, and like me trying to work out, and her like coming over and interrupting anyway, my workout, and like
sad.
It's yeah. hard.
So next topic.
I like how I'm like, that was my topic, and you're like, next topic. How do you feel Biden's doing as a president so far?
I think that okay. So I read a lot of news, not happily saying that, but.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I want to, like, make sure that I'm fact-checking my own news sources. So yeah. I'm, like, bouncing them off of different news sources. And just trying to make sure that I'm getting the most accurate information so I can make an educated opinion. And so I kind of, like, I was listening to Cornel West, who is the philosophy teacher at Princeton, but also an activist for Black Lives Matter.
Is he at Princeton or is he at Harvard?
He's at Princeton. He graduated and taught it. Harvard.
Got it.
But I think now he also went to school at Princeton. I think he got banned from Harvard teaching because of his hardcore protesting and like activism.
Yeah,
so like they didn't want to be so like in the spotlight.
Or was
on
it
that.
Yale? Somewhere. I know that he's been
yeah.
all around.
So he I actually kind of look up to him. In a way. So he was saying, like, you know, you have he's kind of like going over it because they were saying, well, you know, you were very criticizing of Biden. And like, he didn't really go back on that. He was like, well, you know, look at the old Biden, you know, look at the guy who was, you know, desegregating and like, what was that whole scandal in the 50s with,
it
Hillary?
Wasn't the 50s.
Or was
the
it
90s
90 or 70s
it was
or,
the
90s in Compton it? Anyway when they when they did that whole lockdown and
was
there
were
the riots
whenever it was yeah
the 1990s,
Rodney King
I think yeah stuff. So that was Biden's bill, you know, and he bragged about that, you know, and he's done lots of things like that where it's kind of like you've done a really awful thing and you're kind of bragging about it because you want the hype. And so he's kind of like, you know, the old Biden's not nothing to look up at and go, oh, yeah. And, you know, you're coming from, look where you're coming from. You're coming from, you know, going back to Clinton, you know, scandals after scandal. And then you had the housing market crash because of all of the hedge funds he was making. And then you have going into war, you know, over, you know, all of the human rights that were taken and destroyed from the Bush era, just in other countries and like inhumane, to the Obama era where you're doing drone strikes on American citizens and also in other places, acts of war. And then you go into a president. So it's like every single president we've had has been pretty awful in a way or not, you know, in some way or another. And now you're having a new president who's not really changing much from 4 years ago, right? He's just trying to get back to where it was 4 years ago, coming from a president who was opening up spy regulations and doing things like bombing people secretly, you know? So it's kind of like we're kind of going backward a little bit. And he's kind of like, we'll wait and see, you know? And I kind of agree with that. Like, we'll just have to wait and see if the new Biden's better than the old Biden. And I think that so far he's done a lot to get us back into a place where it's like we can feel comfortable reaching out to a politician about, like, well, Lindsay had a really great idea about, you know, making tax cuts for having 70% native plants on your property, you know?
We're so having...
Those ideas need to be pushed forward by people. And I think that we're in a place, but it could very easily go right back to where we were with Obama, where you don't really feel comfortable because they're experts and they're authoritative. And they're like, you know, you don't feel comfortable sharing your ideas. And I think that's wrong path. And that's why people revolted. And that's how we got somebody like Trump into office.
Do you want to hear this great idea that I had?
I do.
Politically?
Yeah.
I did tell you earlier. But so we have these vaccinations that have been rolling out. They're producing more and more vaccines. But part of the issue is that there's not enough people to give the vaccines. Correct.
Yeah.
So they're like, we have to get, like, we can only produce so much at a certain time because we have to be able to keep them cold. And we can't, like, we physically just can't give out that many vaccines in a day. So vaccines have been going bad. They've been trying to, like, produce the correct amount. It's been really hard. So I think that they should start like a day or a weekend type thing where they train people to give the vaccine and like probably put them through a background check and stuff too to make sure they're not people that are just going to like steal a bunch of vaccines.
Right.
But like train people as a job to like work at CVS and Walgreens and stuff and like give out vaccines. Like we could be doing thousands more a day.
Right.
Every day.
Yeah, I agree.
And getting people vaccinated.
And then you'd also be giving somebody
a job.
A little bit of a leg up if they wanted to become a nurse down the road. So you'd be like promoting people to like, venture into that.
Like someone may start doing that and be like, wow, maybe I really want to be in like the health field.
Or you could work with schools. That could really blossom into something. That's a great idea, Lindsay. So what's your opinion about Biden? You think he's been doing a good job?
I do appreciate the fact that he, right out of the gate, was, like, ready to sign a bunch of bills and, like, reverse a bunch of stuff. And I do like that he's moving us forward as far as, like, trying to lower our emissions. And the fact that he made the goals of, like, 2035 and then 2050 for, like, the two things for, like, climate change and emissions and all of that. I think the fact that he set a date will push companies to start like looking at how to be more sustainable. So I do appreciate that, but we're still like 1 week in. So it's really hard to say where the next 4 years is going.
There are some really nice things like the halt on the Keystone building.
Like everything he's done in the first week, I think has been wonderful, but that's like, just 1 week.
You know, and then it's like you're constantly being let down by presidents too. Like you've got Trump, right? Well, who said he's going to build a wall, doesn't build a wall.
And Obama promised a lot. And the problem is when you promise a lot.
Totally failed. Yeah.
Well, he didn't totally fail, but it's like when you promise so much, you don't have enough time to get all of that done.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's just like.
It's hard.
It's hard because they're like over-promising and under-delivering.
Right. I mean.
And they should be like under-promising and over-delivering.
We're in this weird pendulum where every president from whoever is now using so many executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
which I don't
think the Senate's going to put a cap on that.
I don't think Biden will use as many executive orders.
He's already used 26.
Well, because he wanted to get it done.
He's used more than Trump.
But
the
reason he's done it is because the Senate is on break.
Right.
And if he wants to get stuff done his first few weeks, it's the only way to get things done.
Right.
Because Mitch McConnell had called that huge break and was like, we'll be back in February.
And then you also have to make sure.
And they're in the middle of the impeachment and debating what to do with the impeachment. So it's kind of.
He doesn't really have anything to
do
with that.
No, he doesn't. But the Senate does. And the Senate. Like
the Senate's pretty lacking right now.
It's going to just shove everything down to the bottom that
they're doing nothing.
Needs to be done.
The Senate, I'm so disappointed in the Senate right now. But so the issue, another issue with, and this isn't my, I've read this in the news, and it was saying that, you know, hopefully, you know, he doesn't sacrifice racial and economic justice for fake unity. You know, oh, we're all united. And it's like, well, we aren't really united. Like, we're a cracked country. Like, we're trying to figure it out. And most people just want to, like, love their neighbor. I honestly and wholeheartedly believe that. And I think that you have politicians stirring things up because of power, you know?
Which
and
I do,
own self-greed.
I do appreciate who he's been putting in his cabinet thus far. Because he is getting people of a bunch of different backgrounds.
And he's putting very competent people in his
They're very competent, but they're also of different ethnic backgrounds. They're different ages. They're different, like, social status. Like, you're getting a wide range of people that aren't necessarily just career politicians in those positions. And I think those people are going to be able to make really good change in our country. And I'm hoping that he gives them the opportunity to actually, like, bloom and thrive in that.
I mean, if you would have asked me back when... I'll take a little dab. And then if you would have asked me back in, like, the Bush era about this stuff, I probably would have had a way different answer because I kind of had faith in our system. And now I have faith in our civil system, right? Like, people that are volunteering and people that, like, count votes. I have faith in that, the democracy side. However, I have way less faith in the goodness of the leaders that we've chosen.
And like, in the political parties themselves, like the DNC and the RNC, like...
Right. Like, I feel like people like McConnell, people like, who's the House leader?
Pelosi.
People like that, I just feel like they're just so caught up in a non-real place. And they're also very, like, about themselves. And they've kind of corrupted their own little group of people. So that it's like they're not really going to be ousted in any way. Although, didn't Nancy Pelosi say she's retiring soon?
I mean, I'm assuming she probably
maybe
will in the next four
years. Maybe her tone will change now that it's a completely Democratic, you know.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But we will talk to you all next week for another episode of Wine 30, because we're going to have a lot more topics to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll go quicker. Ciao.